affiliates. Head on with Bob Kincaid in 1 minute. Mark.
Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Beg your indulgence tonight. And I say that because I'm moving a little slower than usual. Who am I kidding? My center of gravity's changed. It's the day after Christmas. It's our darling son's birthday. And we, of course, wish him the happiest of birthdays. But, Lord God, Billy Bob, how much can one little gang of human beings eat? I'm stuffed. We are stuffed. So, I don't know. That I may be a little bit off my game this evening, so it may take a little bit of help. Anyway you slice it, though, I'm terribly glad to have the microphone open this evening and have the show up and going. I am, of course, Bob Kincaid. My lovely wife, Agnes, is at the controls here. She'll be taking your calls through the course of the evening, should you wish to involve yourself. And there's a number of places we can go. There's some, there's a little egg on my face. I got myself all hot and bothered about a story that was supposedly vetted by the mainstream media and wasn't. A story about the young man at UMass Dartmouth who said he had been visited by Department of Homeland Security agents because he had requested a book, the unabridged copy of Mao Zedong's Little Red Book. Turns out that was a lie. And, you know, supposedly, we're supposed to be able to rely on these mainstream journalists. After all, that's why they're journalists. They get their facts straight before they, run to print. Thanks for playing, Bob. But the fact of the matter is there's more to this story than meets the eye. The fact of the matter is I relied on it. A number of other people relied on it. It was picked up by the major wire services and whatnot and run with because it was believable. And one wonders, these dark days of slogging through Bushmerica, with 3 Ks, of course, one gets to the point where there's no indignity, there's no horror that we're not willing to believe that dear leader would perpetrate. And so stories like this coming out, oh, wow, that was bogus. when this kind of stuff comes out, you really sort of have to sit back and you get the little roll of aluminum foil out. And you, am I going to make my tinfoil hat a pirate helmet today, or shall it be a fedora or maybe a derby? Because this is beautiful disinformation. Because the way this works, and I guarantee it, I promise, if it hasn't already started already, it will. The other side will take this and say, well, see, that story was bogus. And guess what? They're all bogus, and George Bush isn't having the National Security Administration spy on us. And the Pentagon wasn't sending its spooks to investigate Quaker peace groups. And no, of course not. The officials didn't ingratiate and infiltrate themselves into peace protests at the Republican convention in New York. No, that never happened. And so you sit back. I'm going pirate hat. You sit back with your little tinfoil helmet on and you think, they couldn't have worked it any better if they'd meant to. And then with your little helmet fully in place, you say, that's it. They did mean to. That's why it works this way. These people are good. Dear leader may be a bloomin' idiot, but there are some delightfully devious people around him. And further revelations coming out about the spying program. Colin Powell appeared on this week with a skinny little Judas yesterday and said that he saw no problem with the president spying on the American people. I still do. But, you know, that's because I'm a liberal. I don't want to be spied on. There's no reason to spy on me, Savannah River. No reason whatsoever. You see, but you've got, you know, Colin Powell, an ex-general. Oh, sure, spy on him, whatever. Of course he's going to think it's okay. That's only natural and to be expected. Even so, it's still depressing to see. But moreover, you got that. Let's see. Well, you know, you can look. There's plenty in the stack. And if something is burning you up, if there's a bee under your bonnet, a burr under your saddle, for God's sakes, do something about it. That's not good to bottle that stuff up. It's bad for you. So pick up the phone, and you're free to jump in at 877, the number 4, head on. That's 877-443-2366. And email is easy as well, bob@headonradio.com, and we will respond in whatever manner you choose. So let's come back, do some phone calls, what have you. This is Head On, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Miners and mine operators understand the dangers inherent in working at a mine site. They also know how to avoid those hazards, but will they do it? Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. Many recent fatalities in the mining industry have resulted from bad safety decisions. For example, one victim fell from an elevated platform because he was not wearing a safety line. Tragedies like this don't have to happen if everyone in the mining workplace thinks about the job and makes the right decision. Safety begins with you. If you're about to perform electrical work, lock out and tag out before you start the work. Make the right decision. If you're a truck driver, you can choose whether to wear the seat belt. Make the right decision. MSHA's message to you is make the right decision in the mining workplace. Decide to be safe. Thank you for listening.
Minutes past the hour. We're well on our way to a rollicking Monday night edition of this Head On with Bob Kincaid, me. And another reminder of the phone number is 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. And email bob@headonradio.com. So we've got that out of the way. Let's go straight to the phones. David is with us. Hey, David, you're Head On. How was your Christmas?
My Christmas was great, and it was so good to hear Bernie Worrell on keyboard.
Yes, indeed.
With a talking head.
You're right.
Second funkiest keyboard player going right after that Neville brother that does it so well, Mr. Arthur Neville. So now let me get this story straight. After months, nay, years of stories of Bush evil doings, a story runs, and it's UMass, and it involves a book, and it involves libraries, and it looked like a duck, and it walked like the duck, and
it was a dodo.
You bet for it, right?
Yeah.
So rather than sounding like a duck, it was really Karl Rove on a double dose of Metamucil recorded.
Yeah, that's about the size of it. Yeah, David.
Oh, gee willikers. Well, here's your chance, and I had this is a little Christmas present for this. You know, here's your chance to point and giggle. The reason I called in is this is called Stump the Caller.
Okay.
If you give me a topic and you find out if I know anything, you know, this is kind of like Qualify the Caller.
Okay.
Dream up a topic. Let's see if I can get even close to what the news is telling.
Let's see. How about the indicted CIA agents?
I just lost. My lord, I just lost. I thought at least I might get the softball. All right, Bob.
All right, okay, I'm playing too rough. Let's see.
I spent the whole weekend cooking and eating and visiting with friends that knew me since I was 2 years old.
Okay, headline. Rumsfeld serves dinner to troops in Iraq.
I like the funny little paper hat. Oh, Mr. Rumsfeld, double gravy, would you? Oh, and collie whiz.
Yeah, steak's the big seller tonight, he declared after the first several dozen soldiers had gone through the line.
And I bet it was better food than they'd seen for the past 18 months.
Oh, well, you know, but at least in theory, this was real. Remember when Deer Leader went over for his first Iraq Thanksgiving, and they showed him sitting with the turkey with all the and it was plastic?
Oh my gosh, I missed that one.
Oh yeah.
Well, I'm sure Halliburton brought the freshest shipment available with Rummy over there.
Yeah, none of that rotten meat and rotten vegetables that they are so well known and occasionally castigated for by the Pentagon at $29 per soldier per day.
And it allows Bush and Cheney and all the rest of them to cash the big check. You know, it's probably still behind the scenes those little holdings that they have.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I'm one for one on topics. Gee whiz. All right. We've got to have a tiebreaker here, Bob.
All right. Let's see. Go fishing. Let's see. Okay. This is a slam dunk.
Oh, please, Lord, let it be a slam dunk.
Where do 70% of the world's Christmas ornaments come from?
China.
Communist China. That's right. We have a winner.
My daughter still has some that my mother bought in the 40s that were made in Germany. But anyway, a one or two.
Yeah.
So that, my mother's evil son broke most of them.
In 2003, 7 of the trees adorning the U.S. president's residence, the White House, were manufactured in China.
Oh, that's so sick. You know, I don't know if you heard this one, but they did this little poll in Germany, and the Germans said by a 3-2 margin, who would you rather spend time with, the Christmas tree or your relatives? 3-2, they said the Christmas
tree.
And in our case, the Christmas tree is from China.
Yep.
Oh, Lordy. We're in a terrible shape here, you know what?
Well, yeah. GAO or the CBO, one or the other, came out this week in the last few days and said, you know, we sure wish the White House would pay attention to the fact that our economy is going to go down the crapper pretty bad pretty quick. Nah.
Well, being involved in the industry that I am involved in, and it's very much in touch with where things are manufactured, how they're manufactured, what's going on. I've been in packaging for nearly 40 years, and as such, I'm watching this every single day, and every single day there is less for the American worker to do. And if anybody in America is curious, they should investigate and look and decide, wait a second, why are we making sure there's only going to be the owners of the company and everybody else that just sticks the label on the box that comes in from China and then is reshipped to Bentonville, Arkansas?
Well, here's a classic case in point in that vein, David. Sometime in the next year or so, I'm told that one of these Walmarts around here is going to start stocking its own Budweiser. Now, for my purposes, I think there's a reason they have all those horses at Budweiser, and you know what that, I don't like it. But the point here is that they're going to start stocking their own direct and completely bypassing the local Budweiser distributor. And you know what? That's got that distributor a little bit up in arms, I'm told.
That's really frightening, and that's really very, very revealing of what Walmart is all about. Because the first thing that's going to happen, and this may strike you as a funny thing to say, Bob, but wherever that happens at each and every location, the first casualty that you will notice, and it will happen within hours, is every youth athletic program within 25 miles of that Budweiser distributorship will see those uniforms, those trips to the tournaments for the district, all of that type of local sponsorship.
Your eyes right up.
All of that community involvement will go by the board. Because They desperately, beer distributorships, there are accounts that make them almost nothing but have huge volume, so the money mounts up. There are other accounts that make more money on lower volume, and if you disturb that relationship, those guys are not, in this day and time, just, it's not the unlimited income source it used to be. And if somebody as big and ugly as Walmart takes that volume, because rather than paying, to pick a figure, $6 for a Budweiser product, it'll be $5.29 at that Walmart.
Yeah.
And the guy that's had his wages cut because of all the things that cut wages in America, if he wants a Budweiser product, he's going to go there. Oh, it's going to be ugly. It's the race to the bottom.
Yeah. At a dead run, David, at a dead run.
So tell me about the indicted CIA person, now that I know I don't know something.
Wait, it's not a person, it's a team. Something on the order of 13, I believe, indicted by the Italian, 22.
Oh, well.
By the Italian government.
I should have asked for a hint, because I did know a little bit about this. Yeah, it's way more than 13. It's a whole bunch. It's for the renditions that have been going on the Italian.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, this story came out of the Chicago Tribune, and Dateline yesterday, and yet I was reading about this months and months and months ago. It amazes me when I see stories like this, David, how long it takes for something to get traction in the attention deficit hyperactivity disorder American media.
Well, could it be, and I may have something to add to this, and you've got a more recent edition, and I'm working almost by osmosis. I think the Italians as a country tried for an indictment based on their own court, and it became a so what.
Well, so what? They went, you know, they went ahead.
Not in Italy it wasn't. But isn't this the equivalent of a European Union indictment now? Doesn't this make those people arrestable?
It is valid. That's absolutely correct, David. It is valid in any member country of the EU.
So EU forces, Italian forces, somebody with authority could walk up to these guys in Oslo, Norway, and say, you're coming with us now.
And you know what? That would be fine by me, David, if for no other reason than the fact that, and not necessarily because they're CIA or I hate the CIA, these guys are sleazebags. You remember back when the Republicans were all into fiscal conservatism? You remember that?
Yeah. The lip service only.
These guys, get this, these guys chose, when they were chasing down this, Egyptian fellow in Italy, they stayed in Milan, and, you know, they didn't go to the no-tell motel with the quarter, you know, where you drop the quarters in the bed and it vibrates. No, they went to the, Principe di Savoia. It's a gilt and crystal place, David, and the rooms are $588 a night. A club sandwich is $28.75, and a Diet Coke is $10.
Wow! Could I get the French fry concession there, please?
You know, God Almighty, somebody stop these people! But you know, whatever happened to it's your money? I'm sure it does not require access to the Principe di Savoia. In order, assuming that what they were doing was right or correct or good or decent, assuming any of that, David, it does not require that they stay in the Principe di Savoia at $588 a night.
Well, when you're off budget and none of it's being reported, they let you stay wherever you like. You know, but perk, remember, Bob, if you're a Republican and you're operating secretively, you're perk.
All right. You're absolutely right. I'll tell you, I want some of that off-budget stuff. Hey, David, we got to roll. Thanks so much for the fun.
Well, Merry Christmas. I'm sure you had a great day, and I hope I gave you a chance to point and giggle at a listener that wasn't reading his newspaper well enough.
Never, never, never. Thanks again, David, and Merry Christmas to you, too.
Merry Christmas, and soon to be a Happy New Year.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye, Mom.
Bye now. All right. To the break, and then when we come back, yeah, let's talk about this a little bit. Fiscal conservative, my left hind foot. I'm Bob Kincaid.
My jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops. I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg. Sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately. Because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Preacher's son, and when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered around and started talking, Cousin Billy would take me walking. Up through the backyard, we go walking. Then he'd look into my eyes. Lord knows to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Yes, he was. Being good isn't always easy, no matter how hard I try. When he started sweet talking to me, he'd come and tell me everything is alright. He kissed and tell me everything's alright. Can I get away again tonight? The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only
Welcome back to Brother Bob's Cathedral of Common Sense. 26 minutes and change before the hour. Yeah, you know, it was what a wild day yesterday was. I mean, in the Christmas chaos, day was okay, then it turned to rain. We had a thank God, global climate change is just a figment of the wild ravings of the lunatic left. Because here in the mountains of West Virginia, we had an absolute mind-bending thunderstorm on Christmas Day. Oh, it was a beauty. An absolute... Brother. And lunched out one of our phone gizmo hickeys. Never a dull moment. But at any rate, it's good to be back this evening. And you know, the funny thing was, with Christmas falling on Sunday, this isn't like Tuesday or Wednesday, and I think it's Monday. It's Monday, and I know it. And I'm psyched for that. Let's go back to the phones. Jim is with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
I hear you 5x5.
All right, great.
Anyway, what was that song? Was that the one that J. Edgar Hoover used to like after listening to Martin Luther King's Wiretaps? By the way, Hoover was a tope, not an autumn, so that ought to tell you about his after-hours ensemble.
Oh, my God, I don't even want to think about it.
Can you imagine him in drag?
I'm trying real hard not to, Jim, but you're not helping.
Well, on the Independent Film Channel last night, they had, of all things, they had Female Trouble and Desperate Living and Polyester on television in West Virginia.
Oh.
I couldn't even handle them.
Too much.
I said, this is too much even for me. So you're feeling like your center of gravity is displaced?
Yeah, it's about 3 inches off the floor at this point. I'm moving like mighty slow.
Like a swayback mule.
That's about the size of it.
You know, I just wanted to make a few comments about our problems with our borders, and, you know, particularly with Mexico and all these migrant workers that come in and out of here. I didn't realize it, but, you know, these people carry back to Mexico about $20 million a year, and I guess that's a pretty good infusion for the Mexican economy.
And it goes a lot further down there than it does up here.
Of course it does. And I just wonder if President Fox has any kind of turnstile where he lets people in on his southern border at Central America. I just wonder. You know?
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, we're talking about big business, and this country loves to get these Mexican migrant workers in here and pay them nothing.
Right. You know,
they really, you know, our Republican friends who favor big business in the current administration, they make all these noises about security. And, my God, South America, in certain parts of South America, like Venezuela and Bolivia, you've got huge fundamentalist Muslim training grounds that are building up down there.
Now that's something new. I know that I'm not at all versed on that.
And the president of Venezuela just made a statement the other day that he was America's worst nightmare.
Well, so far he has proven to be an absolute nightmare for George Bush. Enough so that they tried to the CIA was involved in that coup that tried to overthrow him.
Well, now he's going to certainly not be very, he's going to be pretty amenable to letting any fundamentalist Muslims come in there because there are significant training grounds there.
Well, who's reporting that?
CNN.
Muslim training grounds in Venezuela.
And not Venezuela, but in
Bolivia?
Bolivia and in Venezuela. And in Venezuela, yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
I'll be darned. You know, I kind of wonder if that's like the radical Al-Qaeda training grounds that we were told Iraq was absolutely chock-a-block full of.
No, I think this is probably legitimate. But anyway, what a great place to have a training ground. Because, you know, you've got people down in south of the border in South America. You know, they don't exactly look at us as their great uncle to the north.
Well, we have made that bed for ourselves, haven't we, Jim?
Yeah, I think to a certain extent we have, certainly.
And the thing is, it's interesting to hear this because that's the kind of rationale we can use for. I mean, you know, how long has Hugo Chavez been saying they want to bump me off, they want me out of office, they want to take over our oil fields?
All he does is look back to what happened to Salvatore Allende in 1970.
Sure.
I mean, you know, they had that man killed.
But it wouldn't surprise me at all to see, you know, to see that used as some sort of a justification down the road for invading, overturning, overthrowing the Venezuelan government. And
I don't think we're going to be able to do that now because, I mean, these elections in Iraq have not turned out the way we expected them to. And as far as strength drawdowns over there are concerned, they're also being questioned.
Yeah, but Rumsfeld on his little Christmas tour, everywhere he stopped, oh, we're sending 7,000 of you home.
Well, yeah, but the trouble is, he might send 7,000 home to replace with 8,000.
No, but isn't that the administration line, Jim? That they're going to begin gradually reducing overall force strength.
Hey, Bob, listen. Anything coming out of the public affairs offices of this administration, you know, they must think that I'm just real stupid, or the American people are real stupid, and they're basically treating us like mushrooms. They're keeping us in the dark
and feeding us nothing but yeah.
You know, that's exactly it, and I don't believe anything these people say. And these elections in Iraq, in spite of, you know, information that's given to the contrary, have not gone the way they wanted them to.
No, Ahmed Chalabi's party got 0.39% of the overall vote tally.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, he's no Lech Walesa or no George Washington.
They don't have any of those over there.
No,
I'm sorry to say.
But I mean, no, we won't have the ability to. If we continue to, you know, to try to tell people what to do in Southwest Asia, we cannot do anything to enforce our own Monroe Doctrine. Okay?
Well, you're familiar with Der Spiegel, right?
Yeah,
the German
magazine.
Yeah.
Click.
They are reporting that the United States has been quietly telling its allies, including not the least of whom, Turkey, to expect American attacks on Iran in 2006. Now, is that true? Is it not? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Der Spiegel pretty much is a reliable version of Life magazine or whatever. I don't know. Nothing would surprise me, to really tell you the truth. I mean, nothing would surprise me if we wouldn't try a preemptive strike on Iran, because they do have this nuclear program, and they have the ability to produce, I don't know how many plutonium bombs or whatever. I'm not sure. But anyway, nothing would surprise me, really.
But see, this is different from the attack that the Israelis mounted against Saddam's nuclear program more than a decade ago.
Well, that was a reactor.
And it was
an airstrike.
And it was in one place.
Yeah.
The Iranian program is spread out, it's underground, it's in hardened bunkers.
Yeah, of course. They've had the sense of, you know, the sense of planning to make it impervious to our weapons and things like that. Of course, you know, we'll probably mount a bunch of JDAMs and see if we can break through the shell of those things. I don't know, but it's just going to turn that whole part of the world into just a raging cauldron. That's all there is to it. Nothing would surprise me.
It wouldn't surprise me either. The sad thing is, if we decide to mount some sort of military incursion into Iran, Jim, and we're just speculating here, that's okay. It's going to be the biggest military blunder since Longstreet dragged his heels at Gettysburg on the second day.
Well, I'm thinking more of like Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea.
Well, that's appropriate too, or the Athenian ultimate defeat at Syracuse. I mean, this is really top of the list stuff. We've got a bubbling civil war at our backs in Iraq, and we're going to turn around and head for Iran. That would be on a level of ignorance that's almost incalculable.
Well, you know, throughout history, stupidity has always had a habit of getting its way. You know that. By the way, these guys who stayed at that hotel in Italy, I mean, these were CIA people?
Yeah, there were 22 of them so far that they've isolated or identified.
Well, you know, I remember having to go TDY lots of times, and I had to file a travel voucher and justify every penny that I spent.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'd like to see the justification on this stuff, because
they must operate under different rules. We had something called JTALS, which is a financial system that governed all those government credit cards and stuff. Of course, you know, you're going to have all types of people who are exempt, and they can just basically do whatever they want to do. But, you know, hey, it's
the tab for 7 operatives at the Principe di Savoia in Milan.
Yeah.
The tab for 7 operatives came to $39,995, Jim, and that doesn't include
for
meals.
For how long?
It's not entirely clear. Another group of seven ran up $40,098 at the Westin Palace across the streets from the Principe. It goes on and on. There's greens fees in this, massages, $78 bottles of Pescara red wine.
Well, I mean, they got these guys have got to put on a good front, and they've got to feel good when they go to work now.
Yeah, mighty good, apparently.
Well,
we had male and female operatives rooming in the same room. Not that I'm any kind of a sexual prude, I'm not. But you know, I don't. These are upstanding, good, godly, righteous Republicans here.
Well, now, you know, those officers, they were practicing their training, you know,
okay, yeah.
Undercover work.
Yeah, really undercover.
Well, you know how it is. I mean,
and undercovers and sheets and pillowcases and bedspreads, yeah.
Well, yeah. By the way, how was Santa Claus?
Santa Claus was a most excellent old elf, Jim. Thanks for asking.
Well, good. I'm glad he was. Absolutely. Well, listen, I know you've got loads to lift and no time to drift, but I thought I would just throw in a little things about the things south of the border down Mexico.
That's very interesting. I've got to do some reading on that. If you find any stories online, links or anything like that,
I'll send them out to you.
I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, just shoot them over to bobatheadonradio.com.
I mean, but yeah, that's a great area for problems for America because, I mean, these people are coming in through these terrorists. Are coming in through the Canadian border, the Mexican border, and they're also coming in through ships, on ships and ports of call in this country, okay?
Yeah.
And our borders are as porous as any piece of volcanic pumice you can find on the beaches of Kilauea. You know that.
Well, I do suspect that, yes.
And then we've got Bush up here worrying about these wiretaps and all this other kinds of stuff. I mean, what my point is this, and I'll make it and go. He's got his emphasis on the wrong syllable, okay?
Ain't that the truth?
I'll see you, buddy.
Take care, Jim.
Out here.
Later. That works. Dear Leader has his emphasis on the wrong syllable. How true. Let's take a break. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines, but there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Treat me with understanding. Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
Well, we're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
A little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, State Forester, and the Ag Council.
Welcome back. A little bit more, because the details are astounding on this. These CIA teams, these are rendition teams. These are the teams that George Bush says don't exist and fly around the world kidnapping people that they don't, we don't like them, you know, and sending them to other countries to have them tortured. And they have been documented in England, they've been documented in Germany, they've been documented in Sweden, they've been documented in Italy, Macedonia, on and on and on. And okay, maybe, here, let's go so far as to afford the benefit of the doubt. This is necessary. Well, okay, it's necessary. But I don't believe it's necessary to send 22 people to get one guy and in the process rack up $158,000. And your money in a deficit spending era of American stupidity. $158,000 that's the hotel bill. That doesn't include the $28 club sandwiches or the $10 Diet Cokes. That's just the room bill. $158,000 to 10 different hotels in Milan, Italy. Milano. Can you justify that? Well, Bob, you just don't understand. They were posing as high-flying businessmen, and they had to spend money like that so their cover would be believed. Really? To capture a suspected terrorist Egyptian? He runs in that crowd? No, it doesn't wash for me. The Milan police, who obtained all of this evidence, say that at least 59 cell phones were used in the weeks leading up to the abduction. That leads the Milan law enforcement officials to believe that a number of operatives are yet running around illegally in their country, spying, kidnapping, murder, mayhem, you know, the stuff they're good at. A senior U.S. official said the agency's deployment in Milan was, quote, about usual for that kind of operation. Really? Really? Suddenly the budget deficit is making a heck of a lot more sense, isn't it? Oh, it goes on and on and on, this story. I mentioned, you know, male and female operatives were sharing the same hotel rooms. Wonder how that's going to play with... The upstanding, righteous, good, godly, abstinence-only religion industry crowd. Yeah. The Grand Hotel Baglioni, in Florence. Five members detoured there before going back to Milan. You know, had nothing to do with business. Hotel records indicate at least two couples on those trips shared the same rooms. Asked if there had been some operational or other official reason for the ultra-expensive hotels and side trips, a senior U.S. official shrugged, "Eh, they work hard."
Really?
A lot of us work hard. I know that, you know, I know construction people who are out in this miserable, wet, slippery, slick, snow-covered, and they're working hard. They're not getting $558 a night rooms at the Principe di Savoia. No, I don't think so. Oh, in the course of all of this, these kidnappers, murderers, racked up a dozen traffic tickets when they were photographed by police cameras driving illegally in the city's bus and taxi lanes. That's just sleazy. You know the HOV lanes that you get in major metropolitan areas, the high occupancy vehicle where you've got to have, you know, more than two or three people in the car to drive and single drivers driving in that lane are just inconsiderate, sleazy, and nasty, and apparently that applies to these people as well. Yes, dear.
They can always tell the Americans. We're rude. We're obnoxious.
And we don't learn. And we don't learn traffic rules.
It seems like if they were CIA operatives, they would have learned which lane to drive in when they got there.
Let's see. They racked up $500 in fines, and that was paid by the car rental agencies. Oh, honey, that's going to leave a mark. $40 billion a year for the U.S. intelligence budget since 9/11. Good work if you can get it. Oh, and by the way, when they had a little downtime, these hard-working CIA agents, well, they'd take a little side trip. They had a taste for the Mediterranean resort island of Palma de Mallorca. The Guardia Civil, the Spanish police agency, tracked them there. Now, do you get this part? These are like super spies. And they're leaving their footprints all over Europe. The Guardia Civil is following them. The Milan police is on to them. Oh, Lord. This is embarrassing. I'm getting the idea this wasn't necessarily about capturing the deadly Egyptian terrorist. This was about having a darn fine time at the Gran Melia Hotel. $1,018 a night for a suite. $1,018 at the Gran Melia doesn't even get you breakfast. Jesus. According to the local newspaper, the Diario de Mallorca, where the Gran Melia is, the hotel bills incurred included greens fees. Here in the fiscally conservative Bush administration, our tax dollars are going for spies to play golf. Gotta wonder if they had one of those cool Al Chervik golf bags like from Caddyshack. Oh, God, let's take a break. This is Head On. From the rain under the curtain, I laughed and she'd smile. It would last for a while. You don't know what you got till you lose it all again. Listen to the
Scruff, the crime dog here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff comic activity book.
And it's full of me.
The address is
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 6
tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride. Games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write... Not fair.
Can I do it again?
One more time. You'll be helping me take a fight on a crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ad Council.
On December 8, 1997, our 7-year-old son, Evan, was murdered after signing up for basketball.
It was very devastating, just very devastating. And the victims program provided the resources for us to get the counseling that we needed.
Alec was also injured. They helped pay for Alec's cornea transplant.
They stood by us through the court process.
If you or someone you love have been a victim of violent crime, there is help available for you.
Crimevictims.gov.
Why should our children learn another language?
Everybody in the world doesn't speak English.
To succeed in this shrinking world, our children will need to communicate in more than one language.
So you could make new friends from different countries?
For our kids' sake, it's time to speak up for language education. Find out how at yearoflanguages.org.
That makes me confident.
Sponsored by the American Council on the Teaching of Foreign Languages.
Underneath the clock, carry an umbrella, no need to talk. The man and the humbug hiding in the fog will be watching. Get yourself a ticket, go through the gate. At 7:45 precisely, don't be late. If anybody follows, don't hesitate, keep on walking. And take the night train to Munich, rumbling down the track. After half an hour in the restaurant car, look for the conductor and there will be a fame. Tunic, a paper underneath the sun. Then you gotta pray that he doesn't look away, or you'll never, never, never come back. Take a look inside. On page 27, there's a photo of a bride. Underneath the story of a man who died in Morocco. Memorize the article word for word. The man in the humbug understands the code. Make sure the conversation isn't overheard. They're around you. Upon that night train to Munich, rumbling down the track. After half an hour in the restaurant car, look for the conductor and there won't be a thing. Tunic, a paper underneath the sun. Then you gotta pray that it doesn't look away, or you'll never, never, never come back. Taking care of yourself. They don't know your face, so there won't be anyone looking for you. When you get to Munich, we'll be waiting in the car. Don't look around, just walk straight out. If you don't show, I'm sorry for the pain I caused you. Upon that night train to Munich, rumbling down the track. After half an hour in the restaurant car, look for the conductor and there won't be a stain on his tunic. Then you gotta pray that he doesn't look away, or you'll never, never, never come back.
issues.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
By fits and starts, we will make this all work out. I told you we were running a little slow from all the Christmas-itis. This is Head On. I'm Bob. The phone number is 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. The alternative number for alternative people, I suppose, 304-658-3333. You can use that one if you don't need us to pay the freight. Works out. Whatever's best for you. Email is bob@headonradio.com or for my lovely wife, agnes@headonradio.com. She's working on the perfect red heifer. She's an abominable heifer. I'm jealous. She's getting the hate mail. Of course, that may have something to do with you being so mean on the message boards or something.
Yes, I'd like to thank Middle of the Road again for the heifer comment. And yes, I'm redhead, and you know what it says in Revelations.
Now, the red heifer.
Again,
huh?
I said, you know, this person was reciting Revelations to me, so I hope they look at it again, because once the red heifer's here, I'm not bringing the Revelation.
Dear, yeah. Red heifer's not in Revelations.
Okay, sorry That's about that. Then
Talmudic.
Middle of the Road, you're wrong.
How about that? Just a quick wrap-up on the CIA story. The reason they're after these people in Europe is that these kidnappings and this torture, Europe is, they take at least passing seriously the idea of obeying certain laws. They have human rights laws over there that says we don't torture. We're Europe. We more or less perfected the art. We're repented of it, and we ain't never going to do that no more. And as a consequence, for the U.S. to have spooks and spies creeping and sleazing and sliming around Europe, kidnapping people, torturing them, rendering them to other countries. You know, being a mountain resident of the mountains, West Virginia, when I hear words like rendering, I think about what you do at hog killing time. You render the fat. And so, you know, when I think about rendering terror suspects, it's not a pretty picture in my mind. But, you know, the question arises, if we're so convinced that these people are terrorists, why can't we bring them back to America, run them through the judicial system, and put them away in prison forevermore like we did? You remember how all the right wing, Bill Clinton didn't do nothing about no terrorism. Remember that? And yet, the perpetrators of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing were caught, were convicted, and are rotting in prison. But Bill Clinton didn't do nothing about no terrorism. Did you know he had oral sex? God, I despise him. So, at any rate, something like 10 jets were at the disposal of these rendering teams. The Spanish government says the Bush administration has assured it. That means the Bush administration's lied to them. That none of the CIA planes stopping on Spanish soil had prisoners on board or otherwise infringed Spanish law. At least some of the Mallorcan stopovers were used to take on fuel after arriving from or before departing for the United States. However, the report that was compiled by the Guardia Civil says that the 737 spent 5 days on Mallorca in April of last year before departing for Libya. For Libya, no less. And that's a lot more time than was required for refueling. That's when the party went down. This is so cool. This is so much fun, dude. Let's tell them we were, like, rendering people. Let's go play some golf now and, like, be spying on the golf course and stuff. And I mentioned earlier, okay, we're going to leave that story over. We're done now. I mentioned earlier in my conversation with David, and you got to wonder how this plays with the O'Reilly crowd. The War on Christmas, I guess, is back on the shelf now for another 364 days. Next up, the War on Easter. Seventy percent of all the stuff on all the trees, and the trees, the artificial trees, came from China, you know, via places like, of course, Walmart. That should be, there's your war on Christmas. We can't even make our own Christmas ornaments anymore. This is the best part of the story. It's from the Asia Times. Atimes.com. Good online newspaper for stuff regarding that half of the world. For the bulk of the toiling elves in southern China's factories, however, Santa Claus remains as alien as if he really were at the North Pole. Asked whether the company told its workers anything about the festival for which they spend their days and years producing baubles, Jan answered, "Christmas is not a big traditional festival here, and we don't celebrate it. Our workers are mostly middle-aged women who don't need to know anything about it." Nope, just chain them to the tables, pay them 10 cents a day, and let Walmart rack up the profits. You know, that until such time as the United States can actually provide for its own Christmas, it's enough to make you take a pass on Christmas, isn't it? And, you know, the war on Christmas people, screw them. I'm sorry, but, really. What did I do with it? No, not there. I got a story in the stack somewhere here about the war on Christmas. And, in fact, what it is it's a press release from one of these war on Christmas businesses. Yeah, here it is. From the Christian War Service. Christmas wars continue in public schools. Dateline, Orlando, Florida, December 23rd. Christian Wire Service. The war against Christmas continues in the public schools. In the past few weeks, Liberty Council has handled scores of Christmas cases. Here are a few examples of some school-related blah, 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 blah. Now, this was, like I said, Dateline, Orlando, Florida, December 23rd. Got a calendar handy? Have a look. December 23rd was, of course, Friday. Christmas Eve was Saturday. Children hadn't been in school for days and in some cases weeks. And these sad, hypocritical, sorry, pathetic, unchristian liars were out there still trying to gin up the dollars by claiming that there was a war on Christmas in the schools when the schools weren't even in session. You see how they work? This is fun stuff. Let's take a break. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah. Before her, there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Head On for this Monday night. Your nightly confrontation with the facts. I'm Bob Kincaid, here detailing to you the excesses of the war on New Year's. Gee. Now, this press release that was released after school was out, you know, the war on Christmas continues. Matthew D. Staver, President and General Counsel of Liberty Counsel. This guy's got a law license. You know, I've seen lawyers do some sleazy things. I've seen lawyers do plenty of sleazy things. Watch the TV. You know, the defense of O.J. Simpson. That was sleazy. You know, the so quote unquote obviously guilty rapist who gets a defense. And it runs counter to one's sense of morality and maybe even justice. But for a guy with a law license, a person who is ostensibly a so-called officer of the court, to say things like this: educators need to be educated. Students can no longer be treated as prisoners in the war on Christmas. Students have the right to celebrate Christmas, especially when they engage in interpersonal communication. To treat as contraband anything associated. You know what these people are pissed off about? Here's part of the gripe in this press release. Lewiston, Pennsylvania. Lewiston Elementary School prohibited a kindergarten student from passing out balloons to her classmates during a Christmas party because the balloons contained depictions like Noah's Ark and the battle between David and Goliath. Well, God knows we always make sure we've got a little Noah's Ark ornament hanging on the tree. And then there's that David and Goliath ornament. You know, in fact, we have a Christmas tradition here at the Kincaid Mansion. We send the kids out into the front yard with little David slingshots and tell them to reenact the David and Goliath battle every Christmas. Yes, we do, praise Jesus. And see, this is... Oh, Agnes has coffee coming out of her nose again.
I do not.
What... What? See, this is what. This is the problem with these right wing fundamentalist freaks. They're, I love Jesus so much. Oh, I do, I do. That's why I've never read nothing he ever said. I live in Leviticus. Yes, dear.
They could have bought them at the Dollar Tree or something. I mean, who knows? The child was passing them out, but you know what?
What does David and Goliath have to do with Christmas?
Every child in West Virginia does have a slingshot. That's the truth, but we don't usually send depictions of them at school because they're considered weapons. So,
what was the image on this balloon? Was it that moment right after the rock hits Goliath in the head and his eyes are kind of rolling back going, ow! What the hell? We are especially incensed because one of the balloons depicted the horsemen of the apocalypse visiting hell and damnation and death upon the citizens of the earth. Why do they hate Christmas? Oh, God. You know, along with a Bible verse below the picture, a school spokesperson stated the school was attempting to separate church and state. These clueless jerks. See, he's name calling again, Mavis. These clueless jerks don't understand that not everybody. Not everybody believes the way they do or wants to believe. Where's my Ronald Reagan quote? Where is it? It's here. Let's see. No, that's not it. No. Okay, wait a minute. There it is. There's my Ronald Reagan quote. Ooh, and a turtle, too. I love turtles. Told you it was going to be weird tonight.
He's in his stocking again, kids.
We establish no religion in this country. We command no worship. We mandate no belief, nor will we ever. Church and state are and must remain separate. All are free to believe or not believe. All are free to practice a faith or not. And those who believe are free and should be free to speak of and act on their belief. At the same time, that our Constitution prohibits state establishment of religions. It protects free exercise of all religions. And walking this fine line requires government to be strictly neutral. Mommy. Ronald Reagan, no less. And these clueless jerks want to screw up Christmas parties for little kids. You know, maybe, there's some severed head stories in the Old Testament, aren't there? Why couldn't you? That's what they need at Christmas. They need great big balloons with pictures of Old Testament severed head story. Get that kind. Sure, that's great. These are kindergartners. Oy gevalt.
Well, you realize that there are some children that aren't allowed to participate in Christmas parties. Jehovah's Witness. Their children don't participate in the parties because that's part of their belief. And I think that's right.
Sure.
You know, they should be able to opt out of that, not have to participate. I mean, I don't know what their parents do for them.
But why not? You know, we're talking about five-year-olds, dear. Why not call it a winter holiday party and let everybody participate? Instead of making little five-year-old children feel...
That's
funny
great.
About themselves, and well, you know, you got to go over here to the other room and, you know, do math or something. You know, you don't get a party because, you know, your parents have this belief or that belief. Instead, call it a winter party and be inclusive.
And I think that's perfect. That's a perfect solution. Nobody should have to miss anything. And this is just creepy.
Yeah, they are. Well, yeah. But see, now here's the part that kind of crawled under my skin a little bit. Students can no longer be treated as prisoners in the war on Christmas. You know, you don't know the hell that I caught from wingnuts for, you know, my occasional, you know, suggestion that, you know, 9/11 was George Bush's Reichstag fire. See, you're calling him a Nazi. Yeah, I caught all kinds of grief for that. On the other hand, these people are so over the top that students can no longer be held as prisoners in the war on Christmas. Ask a prisoner of war survivor type. Ask one of those people. Ask John McCain whether or not a children not getting a balloon with a picture of David slaying Goliath on it at a party in... ask him if that's the same thing as being a prisoner of war, where you're hung up with your arms behind your back for days and weeks and months and years on end. Ask him if it's the same thing, and then go find Matthew D. Staver, President and General Counsel of Liberty Council. Find that, and just, you know... politely suggest to him that he shove his war on Christmas where the sun don't shine. You see what I'm after here? Prisoners of the war on Christmas? My God. You ever seen the footage of the people who survived the Bataan Death March? Somebody needs to show some of those pictures to Matthew D. Staver. Suggest maybe he might back off from some of his over-the-top garbage. It's a dishonor what he does. This is Head On. I'm Bob.
I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops. I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
It's the Cup of Joe Report. I'm Joe Vecchio. Last week or so, a story emerged that a student at a college was investigated by the FBI for borrowing Mao Zedong's Little Red Book from a public library. The story turned out to be a hoax, which demonstrates how careful you have to be these days about reporting anything. It would be easy to blame the blogosphere, as some people are now doing, but the so-called professional media, well-paid and well-educated, are just as guilty of this sort of thing as the least informed, least knowledgeable blogger. The real story behind the story, however, is that the hoax will invariably be used by the people on the right to proclaim that everything that people on the left say is false. The logic is simple. The library story was a hoax, so therefore the Bush administration is not spying on Americans illegally. The library story was a hoax, so WMDs were found in Iraq. Easy as pie for the cultists. Goes to show how far you can go when you put your brain in neutral and let others drive it for you. Until, of course, you get driven over a cliff. It all falls into the general pattern we see today, that Republicans can say or do almost anything and get away with it, but Democrats get blamed even for the lies Republicans tell. Makes it easier to understand why the Democratic leadership is in such disarray. But letting others do the thinking for you has its own risks, and frankly, I'd love it if only the cultists get driven over the cliff along with the drivers. But it doesn't work that way. We're all in this together, and if they go over, so do we. Now, get back to work. This has been the Cup of Joe Report by Joe Vecchio. Listen to the Cup of Joe radio show, available via streaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com.
Yeah, there's that fader. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, and it's about 28 minutes before the hour. We're halfway through this Monday night edition. Quick email from our pal David in Tennessee. Subject line, nice hotels in Italia. So, Bob, let me get this straight. While the child in West Virginia that worked for 4 years to have great grades so as to get scholarship help can't because of W's budget cuts, we're not paying for $558 hotel rooms to enable us to torture people that we're not torturing. Right? Got it. And now run screaming around the room. And a quick email from our pal Katie. My reference to Budweiser in the first hour. I've always said it was German for buffalo piss. Well, I think better of the buffaloes myself. No, but yeah. Just a point of trivia. Did you know that Anheuser-Busch is, I think, the single largest purchaser of rice in the United States? That's because that's, you know, it's rice beer. You know, the closest Budweiser's ever been to actual hops is the picture that's on the label, because there isn't any inside the bottle or can. Enough of that. Yeah, I hate these stories. Might as well get this done and take care. Dateline Eugene, Oregon. A Junction City, Oregon man who recently returned from Iraq was charged with killing his estranged wife, who was shot 3 times as police officers tried to open the front door of her rented duplex, authorities said. Tyke Supancic was a medic with the Navy and was in Iraq earlier this year. Kelly Supancic and their baby moved to Eugene from North Carolina in April to be closer to her husband's family in Junction City. The couple married in Oregon in 2003. This guy held his wife hostage for 4 hours, he said in his confession. And he heard the police at the door. According to the affidavit, that's when he decided to perform what is called a failure drill. A failure drill. He fired 2 shotgun rounds into her body and 1 into her head. The officers walked around her house, the police officers did. They saw the woman, Kelly Supancic, through a window. She was sitting on the bed. Officers asked her to come out and talk to them. She said she couldn't. It was clear she was in jeopardy and needed help, the officer said. God Almighty. A 2-year-old little girl now is effectively an orphan. What happens to, you know, when the child grows up enough to where's mommy? How do you begin to explain that to her? Well, honey, back in March of 2003, sweetie. A little before you were born, maybe. a mean, ugly, hateful, nasty, vile creature of a man named George W. Bush made up a reason to go to war in Iraq. And your daddy went to that war, honey. And things happened to him over there that preyed on his mind and made him a wreck. And when he came home from Iraq, sweetie, your daddy wasn't the same man who went over there. So you see, little pumpkin, because of everything that happened over there, mommy and daddy's marriage fell apart. And daddy couldn't take that. And so daddy started acting, well, you know, funny. And one night, he snuck away from the house. See, honey, he was living here with Granny and me, and you were living with your mommy. And one night, honey, I went in and saw that your daddy had snuck out of the house and wasn't in his bedroom. And sweetheart, I knew that something was wrong, so I called the police. And I told them that they'd better get over to your mommy's house on the double. And honey, they did. They got there as quick as they could. And when they tried to force their way in, well, sweetheart, your daddy had a shotgun leveled at your mama. And he shot her twice in the chest and once in the head. And oh, honey, I think about it every day. Because your daddy wasn't a bad human being. We raised a good boy, honey. Sweetheart, your daddy was a fine young man. But things happen to you, sweetheart. Things happen to you. When you have to go and fight in wars that are illegal and wrong and dirty, and you're asked to do horrifying things, and even if you don't do them, you still see horrifying things. See, sugar, your daddy saw lots of people with bullet holes in their chest and bullet holes in their head. Your daddy was a medic, and he tried to help his American soldiers who'd been blown up by these bombs that they'd put on the side of the road. And your daddy saw people without heads, and your daddy saw people without arms and legs. Your daddy saw people that he used to know that he couldn't even identify anymore because they were so blown up. So, sweetie, I don't know if I can ever answer your question, why did daddy do that to mommy? But, pumpkin, daddy did it. And it was daddy, and daddy was responsible for it. But always remember, honey, that other people did things to daddy that made him the way he was. You see, when he came home from the war, Tyke Sapanchik said that he thought his wife was getting emails from other men. God Almighty. God Almighty. And what, we get one of these stories every couple of weeks now, don't we? There's even a phrase out there now, something called suicide by cop. It was some several months back, maybe a year ago, that a fellow, an Iraq War veteran, initiated an altercation with police in which he refused to drop his weapon and thereby managed to have the cops kill him. Because he said, you know, he was being ordered back to Iraq and he would never go again and he would never look at that stuff again and he would rather die than do it. That is the military that George Bush has broken. John Murtha, in one of his news conferences, said that the military was broken. And he said, well, you know, I've told the base commanders that you better learn how to fix what you got because we can't buy you anymore because we're broke. But there's more to a broken military than busted Humvees and flat tires. Part and parcel of a broken military are more than anything else the soldiers who are broken, the soldiers who are destroyed. Tyke Sapanchik was one of them. And now his 2-year-old daughter. And is there anybody here would say, I mean, shall we just say that this is an aberration, that it has nothing to do with the war? Shall we just say that Tyke Sapanchik was a bad seed and that his mother and father failed him by raising a bad child in a bad way? Shall we just write it off to, you know, rotten luck that this little Tyke, this little 2-year-old girl, no longer has a mommy or a daddy? Shall we just write it off that way so that once again, George Bush can get a pass? Shall we say that Tyke Sapanchik put 2 in his wife's chest and 1 in her head because he was insane or evil, and once again let George Bush evade the responsibility that he owns with everything in his being? Shall we do that? Or shall we look at where responsibility lies?
I wonder what his out-processing papers said.
Well, you know, we had a conversation a week or so ago, you may recall, dear, in which we found out that the Veterans Administration is trying to make it harder to diagnose returning veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder. Was it our buddy Bruce that mentioned that?
Yes, it was. And, you know, we know some soldiers. So out-processing doesn't go very well. And no, this man's not a bad seed. Did you hear the way it sounded? He performed a failure drill.
Yeah, it's a fail. You know, that's
it wasn't.
That's that hoo-ah stuff.
He didn't know for certain that anything was going on. All he knew is his marriage was breaking up, and evidently living with his parents, he was breaking up. And so, seeing all this, it drove him mad. And The only way that he could handle it was the way that he had been going for the last few months, few years.
Couple of years.
However long he'd been there.
And you just do a failure drill. Bang, bang, and bang. The same way. Look, you know, it's the same thing they did to Udi and Kuti. You know, Saddam's sons.
Yeah, pretty much.
2 in the chest, but, 1 in the head.
But you can't say that this man is evil. You can't say he's a bad seed. His father and his brother-in-law realized he was gone, and they went directly over to the house, so they knew something was going on. That goes to give you an idea that there was something going on in the house by the way that this young man was acting, by the way he was talking. Where was the VA in all of this?
Yeah, a little counseling maybe? Is that too much to ask him? Probably, apparently.
He goes to serve his country to do his job. He comes home, and we fail him. That's really good, America.
I have to agree with you, dear. You know, there are dedicated, hardworking professionals in the VA who want to help returning vets like Tyke Sapanchik. But you know what? They're stretched too thin as it is, even if you can get them to ask for the help they need. And yet the Senate has, oh my God, We've cut VA benefits. We've cut student loan benefits. We've cut Medicaid, Medicare benefits. All so that Biff and Muffy can have a new Bentley. Wow. Just wow. This is Head On. Wow. One more song for the radio station. I'm bouncing on the walls again. Whoa, I'm looking like a fool again. Whoa, waking up on the bathroom floor. Pull myself back together just to fall once more.
Hey friends, Eric Estrada here. Just like you, I'm really into engines. But there's something else that I'm into even more. Taking care of the planet. I bet you didn't know that motor oil from one oil change dumped in a drain or on the ground can contaminate 1 million gallons of fresh water. That means that if we don't recycle it, we could be drinking it. So take your used oil to your nearest recycling center or call toll-free 1-800-CLEANUP. Remember, if you dump it, you'll drink it.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
Well, we're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
A little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? I'll give you anything to feel it coming. Do you wake up on your own? I wonder where you are. Live with all your faults. I want to wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all.
Welcome back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Reminder, the phone numbers for those of you who don't have it just seared into your brain like George Bush branding a little white-hot Delta onto his pledge brothers. The phone number is 877, the number 4, Agnes is cringing. 877, the number 4, head on. 877-443-2366. And for those of you who will be listening in delay tomorrow at radiopower.org, I hope your Tuesday is going along just swimmingly. And thanks for thanks for joining us. David emails a very interesting statistic. He says, according to the Christian Science Monitor, 37 members of the U.S. Armed Forces are sent, yes, sent home every day because of mental, emotional reasons. Every day in America. Every day. Yes, dear.
Anyone who's worked with any post-traumatic cases realize that, you know, these flashbacks hit them at any time. Certain situations cause them extreme stress, and it takes them back to where they were under extreme stress.
Yeah.
And it's like a time bomb going off. You can't hold someone to accountability under these circumstances. I don't care what they say.
You well, you talking about the guy who did the shooting, hold him accountable?
Exactly.
That dude's going to prison, honey.
He's going to prison, but you know...
Does Oregon have the death penalty? I don't know.
I don't know. I certainly hope not.
Now, the trick would be... Well, never mind. I'm not going to go there. That's just mean-spirited. I think it was our pal Fritz out in New Mexico who noted the other day that, for instance, soldiers trying to recover from leishmaniasis, which in its internal form is very much like tuberculosis, have to have a restful and stress-free environment, and we don't have the VA services necessary to provide them with that. We said that George Bush went to war on the cheap. That he didn't send the troops over with what they needed. And we know that that's true. Whether it was armor on Humvees or plates in flak jackets. They didn't have what they needed. But now we're finding out more and more and more that when they come home, they don't have what they needed. You know, if they die in combat, they don't get what they need coming home. They get unloaded out of a cardboard box, their bodies do, with a forklift. And the ones who manage to survive and to all outward appearances look completely normal, they run the risk of being shattered inside. God almighty. Let's go to the phones. Wayne is with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm okay, I guess.
Okay. Look, let me explain one thing to you.
All right.
This is 2006 to me now.
Okay.
I skipped the rest of the week. I don't like 2005.
Yeah, I'm kind of sick of it myself.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or anything like that, but enough boo-hoo. You know, what are we going to do? We know what these people are doing. We know what they're capable of. I mean, you know, you read it every day. I mean, they just... You know, the story you told or were saying about... Bush saying that the Constitution was just a GD piece of paper.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's questions of whether or not that's true or not, you know, whether...
Sure is believable, though, ain't it?
Well, he doesn't have to say it. He demonstrates it.
Right. He lives it.
He rips that thing up and wipes his butt with it every day. Now, I'm sorry. That's what he does.
Yeah.
And, you know, these people, we have to stop them. That's what we have to do. And, you know... Everybody, well, impeachment, that's kind of far-fetched. No, it isn't. You know, the man is already...
Yeah, I thought he...
I mean, he got up and admitted to an impeachable offense and said, and guess what, I'm going to continue to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's all we need. Now, you know, I know that's a long process. Maybe it won't... I don't care if we throw them out a month before the damn election. They need to be thrown out. The people have to stand up and stop this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And the people are the work. We have to address the working people's issues. We have a lot of problems in this world.
Yeah.
A lot of problems in this country. And, you know, you sit down and think, well, how can we handle this? How can we? If you take care of the working people, you would be totally amazed at a whole bunch of problems that take care of themselves that you never.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they'd solve themselves.
Yes, they would solve themselves. You know, I mean, even, you know, listen, years ago this country convinced, or the government, our government, and it's like one continuous government. I mean, they change, you know, they kind of change the puppets up front every now and again, but it's the same damn government.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you know, that's been continuing. You know, one time they convinced all the people that we don't have to tell you what happened to President Kennedy for 50 years.
Right.
And the people said, okay, well, they said okay because things kind of got better for the people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so you could kind of overlook things. These people want to, things aren't getting better for the people, and they want to step on every right that we have. And we have to stop them. You know, we have to start. Working people have to fight for working people's rights. People have to start getting involved in government and their elected officials. And I don't care if their officials are Democrats or Republicans. If they're not doing what they're...
Bust them.
Bust them. Question them. What, you know, wait a minute. You know, I'm your boss. You know, I'm the guy that voted to put you in there.
Right.
And, we need some answers.
Yeah, you know, a member of Congress, whatever, at, you know, $140,000 a year, we need you to pay attention.
Yeah, pay attention. I don't begrudge you your money. I mean, Washington's, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, at least do your job.
Right.
And, you know, back up what you say. And if you don't support me, if you don't support labor, well, then I can't support you. I'm sorry, you know. Labor built this country.
Yeah.
Organized labor built this country, and it's under the most severe attack in its life. I mean, you know, Ronald Reagan pales compared to these people.
In many ways, you're absolutely right.
He was a friend of labor compared to these. I mean, I'm telling you, that's the truth. You know, he wasn't a good man, but I mean, God, hell, I'd love to have him back.
Oh, please.
I mean, as opposed to this dude?
Sure.
You know, and these, you know, you think about what they've done, and you talk about J. Edgar Hoover and, you know, they're spying things and all. Like this thing here, I mean, you know, things have changed. These people, the Watergate gate break-in.
Yeah, two-bit low-rent second-rate burglary. Right?
Well, they called it a second-rate burglary.
Yeah, right.
That's what they called it. And, you know, the people... Well, you know, no big deal, blah, blah, blah. No, look what that thing grew into, okay? And that's because, and the people in the beginning that start talking about impeachment and stuff like that were crazies, you know? Well, call me a crazy now because it's time to impeach these people, and not just Bush, the vice president. And, you know, I don't know if we could get to Denny Hastert or not.
Well, Denny's got his own little problems via Jack Abramoff.
Well, I don't care. Yeah, and it doesn't matter who's in success. I mean, you know, who, the crazy guy from Alaska? You know, like, we get rid of Bush and Cheney, whoever gets in there will be pretty shaken, and I'd say he pretty much listened to any damn thing that people are going to tell him.
Yeah.
That's right. You know.
Senator Network.
Right. So... My new year started today. This is January 1st.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to fight to get rid of these people. These people need to be impeached. And people should not be timid about that. You know, I mean...
No, because... And that should, they should, but they should also understand, Wayne, that when they mention this in front of wingnut freaks, what you're going to get is, oh, that'd be so bad for the country. Or they will do what wingnuts do, and that is they will frontally attack you and tell you that you are crazy, and they'll try to scream you down. And you've got to have enough starch, and you've got to have enough gumption and guts to get right back up in their face and say, you know, look, call me anything you want to. Here's the Fourth Amendment.
My name and number and the ACT Foundation's in the phone book, and I'll give it a number if they want it. Any wingnut wants to talk to me, I'd tell them, come on, call.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm sorry, these people are nuts, and it's time to... Did you see Senator Byrd's article in the paper, in the Gazette yesterday?
His remarks?
His speech from,
yeah.
I think, December 19th.
Yeah.
He's absolutely right. I mean, who are these... I swore an oath to protect the people tonight. You swore an oath to protect the Constitution.
Yep.
And you ain't doing that, George.
Time
you ain't
to go.
Doing that. And nobody in your administration is doing that, from you down to, you know, Dickey and Condi and the whole nine yards.
Right.
You know. And,
well, it's like Bill Maher said on his final show for the season. He said, George, it's time for you to do what you do best, lose interest and move on.
That's exactly right. Listen, I'll make him a deal. And save us a lot of time and trouble, resign, and we'll make you baseball commissioner tomorrow. What do you think? That's all he ever really wanted to be anyway.
Right.
The poor guy. You know, look, we'll make you baseball commissioner, just quit.
We'll even get you a little baseball suit you can wear around the office. Whatever you want, buddy.
Right,
just
but we'll make Dick, I don't know, maybe Dick could be the Green Bay Packers new coach or something. Or, I don't know, something.
Oh, now that's
or
just
quarterback. How about quarterback? Yeah, I'd like that quarterback.
Oh, well, God.
I hope Brother David's listening. You know, I don't
he
know if
is.
Anybody happened to see the Pittsburgh Steelers Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, Wayne, Brother David was listening, and he said, wow, Wayne nailed it. Take care of the worker and take care of the environment, and the vast majority of all of our problems are going to be made insignificant. He wanted to let you know he was listening.
People don't want welfare. People don't want to be helped or assisted. People want to be able to make a decent living and take care of their families, and they want to be able to retire with dignity.
Yeah, I want to.
And that is not too damn much for a working person to ask.
I don't think so either.
And, you know, so anyway, Happy New Year, and, you know, we'll see what January 2nd brings.
Shake hands and come out fighting. Yeah, all right. See you, Wayne.
All right, brother.
Later.
Bye.
Okay, a quick break, and then we're back. It turns out there's a reason that Dear Leader decided to circumvent the Constitution. You're going to love this. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I need an alarm system in my house so I know when people are creeping about. These people are freaking me out. It's getting hectic everywhere that I go. They won't leave me alone. The things they all want to know. I'm paranoid of all the people I meet. Why are they talking to me? And why can't anyone see? I just want to live. I rock a lawsuit when I'm going to court, a white suit when I'm getting divorced, a black suit at the funeral home, and my birthday suit when I'm home alone, talking on the phone, got an interview with the Rolling Stone, they're saying, now you're rich and now you're famous, big ass girls all know your name, and all the rich and famous, your first hit on you are shame, of the life, of the life, of the life we're living, I just want to live.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
Yeah, and all this domestic spying, call it what it is, In all of this domestic spying that Dear Leader has done, the question keeps popping up, you know, why not just use the FISA card? Well, you know, it turns out you got to have a warrant there, and sometimes we have a need when we are fighting the terrorists, we have a need to move quickly. And, okay, that sounds reasonable until, you know, you set down the Kool-Aid glass and you, wait a minute. You can wiretap for 72 continuous hours without getting the warrant first. So, what? So, you know, there goes that layer of the onion. Well, a story carried by Hearst Newspapers. Why Bush ordered to bypass court in ordering wiretaps. Panel of judges modified his requests. Now, this story I found at sfgate.com. Bear in mind, it's the lead paragraph says, government records show that the Bush administration was encountering unprecedented second-guessing by the secret federal surveillance court when President Bush decided to bypass that panel and order surveillance of U.S.-based terror suspects without a court order, without the court's permission. U.S.-based terror suspects. Oh, my aching back. It's not just terror suspects. It's anybody who happens to say something that triggers the Uniblab 10,000 into sending up a little red flag for, you know, Agent Fred to come and listen. You know, it's, you know, saying anthrax or saying bubonic plague test tubes busting, you know, whatever. Now, bear in mind, okay, this FISA court, this Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, and the court that it sets up, that's got a rotating list of judges who sit on the court from time to time. It's secret. It's the legal term for it is ex parte. There's no defense in there. You know, you want to go wiretap somebody. You know, Agent Fred shows up at the FBI with some Justice Department lawyer, and you know, there's nobody on the other side. There's no defense counsel. There's no one defending. It's just you and the judge. And you say, Judge, you know, this guy's a suspected terrorist, and you know, we need to listen to his phone calls to Poughkeepsie or wherever. And the judge goes, okay, you have my blessing. From the time that the FISA court was put in place in 1978 to the present, there have been some 19,000 wiretapping requests. Five of those have been rejected. Not 5,000, not 500, five. You math gurus out there can you get a lowest common denominator on 5/19,000ths? That's a tiny, tiny percentage. It's almost a non-percentage. Five times out of 19,000 requests, the judges at the FISA court have gone, eh, maybe not. Not so much. What does that tell you about the spying that the Bush administration wanted to do? What does that tell you about the level of competence involved with it? Because as the first paragraph of this article notes, encountering unprecedented second-guessing by the secret federal surveillance court. When you can get 18,995 wiretap orders out of 19,000 requests. You know, you're batting in the big leagues. That's a pretty hefty batting average. I mean, it sounds to me like if you go to the FISA court, you can pretty much get an order to wiretap a ham sandwich if you want to. What does this tell you about the bumbling, idiotic, stupid, patently inept? Yeah, you're doing a heck of a job, Brownie. Job that the NSA is doing. And what the Bush administration wanted. When a judge who will rubber stamp a wiretap request tells you that they think that this is not, you know, maybe... 18,995 times before, the judges have said, sure, go ahead, sounds reasonable to me. And yet this incompetent, bumbling crew comes in and says, we think they're using the word fudge as code for dirty bomb. Because we heard Mrs. Umar talking to her cousin in Pakistan the other day, and she said she was making fudge. And that, we think Mrs. Umar's making a dirty bomb. I mean, that's the level of incompetence and stupidity that you have to get to before one of these judges on the FISA court's going to go, then get all Peter Falk, and I don't think so. Isn't it? Am I completely off the reservation with this? What is it? 18,995 times they say yes, and they're second-guessing the Bush administration.
Didn't one of the judges walk off?
One of the judges quit.
Does that say anything right there?
Yeah. So, you know, this is the way they operate.
Badges, we don't need no stinking badges. This is that attitude.
It's like a preschooler that keeps pushing the button to see how far they can go. Can we push you just a little bit more? Maybe we'll push you over the edge. Just don't take us with you.
And then we got the Abdullah family there in Michigan. We intercepted one of their phone calls, and they kept talking about falafel. And we're not sure, but our code breakers think that falafel is a cipher for rice and gas. And don't you say a word about Bill O'Reilly, Agnes Kincaid. Don't do it. Don't do it.
That is Bill O'Reilly. That's not the Abdullah family.
I used to like falafel.
And if they're so worried, they need to look at the Saudi nationals.
Nah.
Actually, the royal family. I mean, you know, it's amazing how after 9/11, of course, because you hear that all the time, that the princess had been, one of the princesses, had been caught funding
the World Association of Muslim Youth. Greg Palast covered it in
And then all of a
depth.
Sudden it dried up. He may have covered it in depth, but it dried up and went away.
Oh, I know.
So, who are we fighting?
Terror. We're fighting terror. You need to understand that. We're fighting terror.
We're fighting everywhere there are oil fields.
But, I mean, that really, that's the sum and substance of some of this stuff. I mean, I saved a website. Minimize the media player there for a second, would you? Now, call this thing up. Go to it. Right there. It's the second tab. nsa.gov/kids/home.cfm nsa.gov/kids/home.cfm. This is the children's page. I'm not kidding.
Oh, God.
I can't make this up. This is the children's page of the National Security Administration, the NSA.
You guys got to see this. America's Crypto Kids, Future Code Makers and Code Breakers.
Crypto Kids. Crypto Fascist? Crypto Commie? Crypto Kids! And what we've got here are little flash animation computer characters. What do we got here, honey? Let's see. Let's move the boom.
A kitty cat and a doggy.
Is that a kitty cat or a rat?
No, that's a kitty cat.
Okay,
we have an eagle. And we have a turtle and a fox and a dog and a bunny rabbit. How can I work for NSA? Student resources. Now, I don't particularly want to go on to any of these sites. I don't want my children to go on to any of these sites.
This is like a porn site.
And when it says privacy and security, I really just don't want to do this. But what's even scarier? Parents and teachers. So I guess I'm going to take my kids and I'm going to teach them how to become Supernaut Double Agent Spy. You know, Jethro Bodine said it all.
I'm a double knot spy.
And he made it to the sixth grade.
Still hadn't decided whether I'm going to be a short order fry cook or a brain surgeon. And there's CIA.gov/kids. There is a CIA kids homepage. I mean, you know, resources for teachers? Resources for teachers? Am I to understand that I'm going to send my precious little children off on the bus some morning and they're going to come home and I'm going to go, well, Junior, what did you do in school today? Well, we became crypto kids. Jeez.
Okay, I couldn't resist. You have CryptoCat, cryptography, Decipher Dog, crypto analysis, Jules Engineering, Slate Mathematics, T-Top Computer Science, Rosetta Stone, oh, that's a great name. Wonder where they got that one. Language Analysis, and Sergeant Sam, Central Security Service. That's right, folks. The military wants your babies.
The NSA wants your babies. And, you know, well, you know, what do you say? We just rat on people. And that crazy old loon from Wisconsin, James Sensenbrenner, a few months ago, introduced that act in Congress that would have made it a felony if you refused to rat out your neighbor. Really, I'm not kidding. Crazy with a capital cr. Let's take a break. You know, I'd give you an opportunity to go and look at the site without me yammering in the background. NSA.gov/kids/home.cfm. This is... Where the hell do I live? I'm Bob Kincaid.
Turn it inside out so I can see the part of you that's creeping over me. 'Cause when I look, you're never there. When I sleep, you're everywhere, you're everywhere.
You put your keys between your knuckles. You walk in well-lit areas. Stay clear of parked vans. Someone approaches you and you cross to the other side of the street. Your cell phone is ready. The numbers for help saved on speed dial. You lock the door behind you. Once, twice, maybe three times. Now you feel safe, secure. You think you've made the right choices to protect yourself. Think again. Because if you're not making healthy choices, you could be one of the nearly 2 out of 3 women killed by cancer, diabetes, heart disease, or stroke. So eat right, get active, don't smoke, see your doctor, and live. Learn to protect yourself from yourself at 1-866-399-6789 or visit us at everydaychoices.org. A message from the American Cancer Society, American Diabetes Association, American Heart Association, and the Ad Council.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
If I want to go jumping in on the whole thing about that war on Christmas, but Representative,
you know what? I want to jump into it. I'm going to tell you why I want to jump into it.
Okay, go, Bruce.
That's the biggest load of horse crap I've ever seen in my life, and the reason why it's the biggest load of horse crap is because you know what? I mean, you know. If there was a war on Christmas, we would hear about it year-round. I mean, this is just crazy.
Hey, everybody, this is John Fox from 4th Estate Radio here. Speaking of Christmas, join us Christmas Eve, 10 p.m. Eastern Time for our special festive 4thEstateRadio.com Christmas edition. We'll wrap up the week's events as usual and have a bit of extra fun. Find out all the details at 4thEstateRadio.com. That's 4thEstateRadio.com.
Thanks for sticking around. Hope you're enjoying yourself Canada and England. It's Boxing Day. Neat little holiday. Thank you for hanging around and enjoying and sharing in the show however you choose to. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On for a Monday night or at radiopower.org for the rebroadcast tomorrow for a Tuesday afternoon. We're flexible. It's about 21 minutes after the hour. And the phone numbers, of course, you know, 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366, or also 304-658-3333. Oh, my God. I used to think that this whole, you know, be afraid, be very afraid, America, you know, I thought it was just a load of hogwash, hooey, and poppycock, okay? I thought it was just pure garbage, just pure unmitigated stupidity, okay? But now, not so much. Now I'm beginning to worry because I'm finding out that instead of out there trying to catch the terrorists, we've got CIA operatives who are camping out in luxury resort hotel rooms that cost $1,000 a night, and that doesn't even get you the croissant and coffee in the morning. We've spent God knows how much. I mean, that's a slick little site, that NSA.gov/kids. That's a mighty slick little site. How much did that cost us? So I'm beginning to get a little nervous. I don't know about you, but I'm beginning to get a little nervous because this is all a classic case of having your priorities completely just bumble-screwed. We're worrying about the websites with cartoon characters for spy kids. We're sending CIA operatives to resorts off the coast of Spain. You know, if we do get hit again, this'll be why. This will be why. Wayne is back with us. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
I'm sorry to bug you again.
No, you're not bugging me.
Okay. I think we ought to start a thing. Who made that quote? Or something along those lines. Okay, remember I sent you that quote about Ronald Reagan?
Yeah.
Okay, listen to this one. It's short.
Okay.
The time has come that the American people know exactly what their representatives are doing here in Washington. Are they feeding at the public trough, taking lobbyist-paid vacations, getting wined and dined by special interest groups, or are they working hard to represent their constituents? The people, the American people, have a right to know. Who made that quote?
You know, it sounds reasonable, but I'm betting that's something like Newt Gingrich or...
Oh, close, Bob.
Oh, okay.
Tom DeLay.
Oh, well.
Tom DeLay. House floor speech, 11/16/1995. Isn't that ironic?
Is that before he got his back feet in the trough, too?
No, he was in. He was getting there, but you know, he was way in the bottom of the line. I think DeLay was, or Gingrich was in the front of the line at that time.
Yeah.
And Tom,
oh, that's,
you know,
a keeper.
Tom proceeded to succeed him, but isn't that a, you know, I don't know what is ironic. Is that ironic?
That's very ironic.
We need to have a thing.
An
ironicisms or
yeah,
something?
An ironic watch list.
I don't know. Let's make up some word that doesn't exist.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like, I think it was Tom DeLay also, because, you know, God, he's good for a million of them. He stood up in the well of the house and said, "It is possible for me to support our troops without supporting this president." Over the bombing in Kosovo.
Yes. Okay. Right. That's ironic.
I'm not so crazy about ironic. Ironic sometimes is funny. I think this goes more toward.
This ain't funny.
Yeah, this goes more toward just honking hypocrisy.
Okay, who got that hypocrite of the week? Buzzflash or?
GOP hypocrite of the week. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so many hypocrites, so many Republicans, so little time.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Those people.
Yeah.
But. My thought earlier, like when we were talking about J. Edgar Hoover and the spying and the things that he did, I mean, think of then and think of now. I mean, you know, and, well, we talked about the Watergate and the second-rate burglary.
Yeah.
You know, in a nanosecond, these people can break into a million people's houses.
Right. And that's what it is.
Exactly. You know, and... But, well, they have to be stopped. This has to be stopped. And,
But Wayne, you know, understand, they have said they absolutely will not stop.
That's why impeachment is the answer. You know, start now. You know, that's how, you know, when Watergate first broke, everybody figured that would just be brushed aside. And, mm-hmm. You know. Unfortunately, one of the big guys that helped that come to the forefront is now on their team. You know, he's an operative. But
yeah, sure.
What are you going to do? We could live with that. I mean, you know, as long as you recognize who they are.
Yeah, know them for what they are.
And know them for what they are, exactly. And none of these people are, they're not trustworthy. They're not.
I would not.
They are not worthy.
I wouldn't trust them with a handful of you know what.
No, exactly. They're not worthy of any respect or honor. You know, they have.
They have no integrity.
They have none whatsoever. You know, I went somewhere to buy birdseed or something today. I don't know, and I guess they had a Best of Rush or whatever. You know?
No.
And I'm an idiot. I mean, I turn it on. I can, you know, I can listen for a few minutes. You know. And
before the blood starts coming out of
your
forehead.
I mean, you know, why I've, you know, I mean, I already had triple bypass. Why I subject myself to that?
Don't blow a graft, man.
You know, I know, but, you know, and it's the way they turn things around. And his whole thing was about, I think, I don't know what date the show was, but Nancy Pelosi had finally come out and said that Representative Murtaugh is right, you know, and all the other Democrats went, oh, my God, blah, 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 you know, and of course, Rush is citing that, and John Dean said, oh, geez, we can't win this war, and all the Republicans or the Democrats, they're upset about that, and he says, not all is great in paradise. And you know how they turn that around? You know, oh, what? Paradise is with the Bush administration and all them people. I mean, you know, give me a break, man.
Well, you know, if it's William Bennett, you know, paradise, you know, right.
Listen,
there.
For the first time in a whole bunch of years, Democrats are actually coming together. That's not what's happening on the other side.
No, they're
Republicans are not coming together.
No, you know what amazes me, though, Rush, Wayne, you mentioned Rush.
Oh, wow, God.
Jeez, what am I?
You are in so much trouble.
Yeah, what amazes me, Wayne, is that Rush can even talk about this spying issue at all, because that guy has waged a war in court trying to keep his sorry Pylondial butt out of prison. And everything he's arguing turns on his very basic right to privacy.
Exactly. And who are the people that are trying to save his butt?
The ACLU.
Yes. Those evil people. I mean, my God. It's amazing. You know, it's fun. I think people should be emboldened. People should be, you know, like, don't, and like I said earlier, you know, let's stop crying about things. Let's fight back. And we have the opportunity to do that. And we have people that are starting to do that. And there's a couple of them that need a good kick in the pants, and I think they'll get on board. And if they won't, then we'll kick them out.
Yeah.
We'll get somebody else. I mean, if you don't want to stand up and defend the people, I have absolutely no use for you.
No.
And if you want to defend the people and you call yourself a Democrat, I can work with, or a Republican even, I could work with you.
Yeah.
But if you want to work against the people, then you're not on my side.
No.
You know, and, you know, I don't, you, we got to take care of the people. We got to take care of social issues. That will solve a lot of our problems. And you could call me a communist or a socialist or whatever you want to call you. Call me that. I don't care. I call myself a Democrat, a true Democrat.
Right.
And that's what true Democrats are. And we need to bring our true Democrats out. And if you don't want to be one, then we're going to replace you with somebody that is.
Yeah.
And I mean, all the way up the board, man. You know, renowned senators or representatives or whatever. You know, you got to defend the people.
Yeah.
You have to be for the people.
Get with the program or get down the road.
Exactly, because we don't need you.
Right.
We won't hate you or anything, but just go away.
Right. Let somebody.
Got to leave first. See, that would be wrong.
Yeah, Lieberman is a classic example of that.
Yes, he is.
Joe Biden.
There too.
Joe Biden.
That's exactly right.
Don't call yourself a Democrat if all you're doing is representing the banking interests in your state.
And that's what they're doing. So it's time for you to go bye-bye, you know. And John Kerry, I don't think...
Nobleman.
Well, you know, John Kerry's biggest problem is he's trying to be too much of a gentleman.
Yeah, a noble, dignified man trying to deal with people who are anything but noble or dignified.
Right. And you know, you're an honorable man, John, and we could always use you in, but I would urge you to drop out of this presidential primary thing because you're just going to murk it up and... you know, we're going to get ourselves a real Democratic president, and I'm sure there would be, he would make an excellent cabinet member.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know. You know, I mean, the man, he's an asset, but not as president.
Well, you know, I kind of like, you know, there are some people that you want in the Senate, and I want him in the Senate.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I hope the people of Massachusetts return him to the Senate for as long as he wants to go there.
And I hope so also. You know, I mean, I think that would be good. But this presidential bid, forget it. And Hillary, you know, you forget it too.
Okay? Yeah, you've got a 2006 election for the Senate to worry about. You focus on that, Hillary, and we'll go find us a presidential candidate.
Yeah, and even there, I mean, you better stop backing Goldman Sachs and start going on a couple picket lines or something, or we ain't even going to back you for that, because we need people every step of the way, you know, that are going to work for the working people. That's what, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that's where all them, commie and socialist words.
Well, we've got, what, a $500 billion deficit now, something on the order of that. And, you know, look, when your idea of a CIA covert operation is to spend, you know, $150,000 on five-star hotel rooms,
Yeah, right. I mean, you know. Give me, you know.
Yeah, there's no responsibility in that.
Right. But, you know, we have to make those, who are we making more, who are we going to have make co-payments, Medicaid?
Oh, yeah, yeah, poor crippled people.
Yeah, you know, because we have to teach them responsibility.
But meantime, we can put up we can put up for greens fees in Italy.
Right. For of...
or, you know, castles in Spain.
Yes, yeah.
For people who are doing a dirty, illegal, rotten thing in the first place.
But,
you know, I don't think I'm out of touch with my fellow Americans. If you sat down and you explained to them, average, Joe and Jane six pack, whatever the right wing's calling them these days, you sit down and you say, by the way, did you know we spent $150,000 for 5-star hotels for CIA agents who were running around Europe kidnapping people?
Mm-hmm.
And that half the time they were in those hotels, they weren't even on the clock. And that they took side trips to Mallorca in Spain and just hung out and played golf and got massages. If you explained that to somebody, Wayne, that has to meet a monthly budget, that makes choices between the new tires or the power bill or groceries or pharmaceuticals, if you explain that to somebody who's doing that, I don't think you could keep a Republican in Congress or the White House.
Well, I don't either, you know. And, well, and I go back to my other thing, too, and that would include a lot of Democrats. I mean, I'm sorry. We have too many of our side that go along and play the same games, and, we got to get rid of them, too. And I'm real anxious for this Abramoff thing, too, because that's going to expose a whole bunch of people.
Oh, yeah. There's
on both sides of the aisle. Now, I do think that the majority of them will be Republicans.
The vast majority of them, because this, one of the stupidities that's come out of the right wing megaphone has been, well, you know, Jack Abramoff gave equally to Democrats and Republicans.
No, he didn't.
That's just a lie.
No, he did not. No, that's just, listen, all these corporations give to both parties too, but they don't give equally. You know, and that's where who is that? The DLC. Democratic Leadership Council.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the Democrat, the Republican light, you know,
ain't
whatever.
Ain't no Democrats there, pal.
No.
Ain't no Democrats there. And Hillary Clinton, I believe, is part of them. And
oh, yeah, she's part of the crowd.
Yeah, well, is Schumer over there?
I'm not sure, most likely.
Well, he should be.
Lieberman, you know, Lieberman's one of those DLC types.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Those people aren't Democrats.
Now, but, you know, there are stories out there, and just every now and then I run across one of these things, Wayne, and it's one of those, you know, pluck your eyeballs out, dip your head in a bucket of lye, and walk off a cliff kind of. This out of a Nevada website talking about Harry Reid. This time next year, Senator Harry Reid thinks he might be shoring up votes in his party to be majority leader. Reid said on KNPR-FM Radio's State of Nevada Friday, if the elections were now, we'd retake the country. You know what I'd like for Harry Reid to be worrying about right now?
What is that, Bob?
Anything but that.
Mm-hmm.
Harry Reid has a job to do. Harry Reid right now he's still in the opposition and sitting around daydreaming about being Senate Majority Leader is not what we need out of him right now.
That's a hell of a dream. First thing we got to do is take back. You know, he should be working on trying to take back the House. At this point, I mean, they got more members. We have better chance of doing that, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I'd love for the Senate and the House to both be in Democratic hands.
But, you know, like let's work on one goal here. You know, right now, the Senate. I mean, the Senate is too much. I think you have a better chance at getting at House members and getting House members in than
because they've been more outrageous.
Pardon me?
They've been more outrageous.
Yes. You know.
But the thing is, we have a president of the United States who is spying on the citizens of the United States in complete derogation and abrogation of the Fourth Amendment, and you got Harry Reid on a radio station in Nevada talking about wanting to be Senate Majority Leader. That kind of crap makes me want to scream.
It does make you want to scream, and it should, you know. And, that whole thing comes very close to home. I'm not happy with John Rockefeller,
Yeah,
I guess that's what the J stands for.
Yeah.
It ain't Jeffrey. I know that.
No.
And, it's time to stand up. It's time to be counted. And if you're not going to be counted, then you're going to be counted out.
Yeah, and I think the people of the state of West Virginia, and in fact the citizens of the United States, are entitled to a fuller and more candid explanation from Jay Rockefeller as to why, you know, it bothered him enough for him to write a secret letter to himself and Dick Cheney, but it didn't bother him enough for him to go public. Was he afraid that
when did he write that letter?
July 17th, 2003.
Okay, 2.5 years, I guess. I don't know. Will
yeah.
it be, you know?
Yeah.
Not good enough.
No.
Not good enough.
No, this domestic
That's
spying
not
program.
Representing me.
No, this domestic spying program, Wayne, is one of the. This is where you get on your horse in the middle of the night and you run through the. You ride through the town screaming, "The British are coming."
That's exactly right. That's
you know, Paul
exactly
Revere didn't
right.
sit down and write a letter to himself and come out after the Revolution and say, "Well, you know, I knew the British were coming."
And like most, and unlike most Americans, I bet he has a horse. Don't you think?
Yeah, probably.
I bet he got a bunch of purebreds, you know, pretty ones.
Sure.
I mean, you know, what the hell? We'll put a Zorro thing on him or whatever, you know, and,
yeah.
you know, we'll, you can.
But no, we deserve some answers.
Yes, we do deserve some answers. And, you know, the American people, and especially Democrats, have to demand them.
And,
you know?
Well, and
Republicans,
but when,
people are too follow along.
Yeah, but Wayne, when we demand those answers, we've got to go in with a couple of ground rules. You don't get away with saying, well, national security. Nope.
Not good enough.
Not good enough.
Not here. You know, talk about that. National security. We have, do you know what we have done to our national security or our homeland now it is? Security?
Oh, I hate that word. I hate that word.
You know, where the hell did that come from? Nazi Germany, did it not?
Yeah, I like Abraham Lincoln's word, the Union.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know... Look what we've done in the name of what? Money and greed. You know, we have given up all of our heavy industries. The only things we had left, you know, were our automobile manufacturers and a few steel mills that could, in case of a real emergency, can make armaments and, you know, blah, 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 blah. We're giving all that up.
Well, I remember a conversation.
Huh?
Remember back at the JJ dinner, Jefferson Jackson Day dinner, a conversation we had. I forget who it was with, but someone was saying, you know, the thing that the Bush administration has done, they have put us in a position where we could not fight an honest-to-God war for our very existence. We could not fight that now. We don't have the mills. We don't have the manufacturing base. We've given it all away. It's all gone. And I mean, the retraining issues alone. If you were to get all Rosie the Riveter like World War II, you would not be. We had an industrial base at the beginning of World War II that, you know, it took us a few months to tool up.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we're in a position where it would take us a decade.
Yes, it would, and I think the time to start is now. If you want to protect national security, you rebuild our basic industries. You rebuild our heavy industries. We put people to work building the infrastructure that this country needs. All of our major cities are falling apart. We have people in the state of West Virginia who are still flushing their toilets into a creek.
Yeah.
And we're supposedly building schools and sewer plants and water treatment plants in Iraq.
And yeah, and Iraq's gonna have nationalized health care.
Oh yeah, right.
But we're not good.
Right.
But the people of the United States aren't important enough to George Bush to talk about people being able to go to the doctor when they're sick.
I don't know if you've been watching it. You know how quickly that's all falling apart. I mean, this big election that George Bush just had that was supposed to save him.
Yeah.
He should have put that election off for a couple of years.
Without a doubt.
Huh?
Without a doubt. But
oh, that's the worst thing they ever did, have that election. The Civil War is on its way.
And, you know, you can tell that the Bush family has had something to do with that electoral process because the same Rovian garbage is going on over there as went on over here. I saw one report where, you know, some secular Sunni, some guy who doesn't necessarily want to, you know, have to go back to the 6th century, was complaining that the election had been stolen, that they were robbed, they were disenfranchised. And the next quote was from a religious Shiite who was busy living in the 7th century, saying, well, he's just a sore loser.
Right.
Anybody remember Sore Loser Man?
Yeah. We think, you know, we think Ohio was a joke. I mean, yeah. What happened over there was a joke. Although...
But they got their purple fingers.
What's his name, who is the guy that we paid so much money every month?
Chalabi.
Chalabi, yeah. He got humiliated, didn't he?
Yeah, his party got 0.39% of the vote.
That's pretty humiliating, even if it was rigged.
Yeah, and
that's the best they could do.
Yeah, and him being a tool of the Iranians and us, you know. That's pretty sad.
Yeah, it is pretty sad.
Next thing you know, he's liable to be back under the bridge with Curveball drinking that screw top wine.
There you go. Oh, well. But anyway, I think I'm looking forward to this new year. And, you know, I think we have, listen, the world's in a mess. We're in serious, serious problem here. And,
yeah.
I called up some people this weekend and, you know, saying, hey, you know, trying to assure them that everything's, you know, okay with me. I'm not, you know. Hell, they depressed me. You know, and I'm going, wait a minute, you know.
Fresh start.
Yeah.
New fight.
You know, I mean, you're probably right, but what are you going to do? Lay down? I mean, you talk about dipping your head in lie or whatever. You know, my thing was always, well, you know, go take off all of your clothes and sit in the middle of the road. I mean, you know, I'm going to go. I mean, I'm sure I'm going out, and I don't know, but I'm going out fighting.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, hell, I ain't, you know. And I think we can win. I really do. We have changed, you know.
We can win. We can win, Wayne, if we fight. But, you know.
If we fight. Well, that's exactly right. But
you got to understand, you know, you mentioned the DLC a little bit ago. There is, beyond any shadow of a doubt, there is a segment of our party, and they call themselves moderates, and they call themselves centrists, and they call themselves consensus builders.
Well, they're Republicans.
Yeah,
that's what they are, you know, and we don't need you, so go away. But, you know, we also have things on our side. We have things like MoveOn.org and the Progress Report. You know, there's a lot of progressive Democratic people that are, we elected one of them, the head of our party,
yeah,
Howard Dean. And, you know, people could dismiss this guy as much as they want. Howard Dean's the best thing happened to the Democratic Party, and
He's raising money faster than any other Democratic chairman ever has.
Yeah, you know, we did real good there. So I have high hopes, you know, but we got to work and hard, you know, fight and just continue to do this.
Yeah, those consensus builders have to understand they are not doing battle on an honorable battlefield or with an honorable opponent. You know, the other side will fight to win and win at all costs. They will kick, they'll kidney punch, rabbit punch, gouge, hit below the belt, pull hair, poke eyes. They'll say rotten things about your mama. They will do anything they have to do to maintain power.
That's exactly right.
And those moderates and centrists need to understand that they're not going to sit down and sing kumbaya with us. They're going to get in our face, and unless we swing first and bloody up their nose real good, well, you know, when you do that, they turn around and they run away and they scream how mean and awful you are. But unless you're willing to do that, if you try to negotiate, you know, what did Ronald Reagan used to say, Wayne? Yeah, well, we don't negotiate with terrorists.
Right.
You know, that's the way
if they're on our side and we're making a lot of money out of them.
Yeah, right. But, you know, the whole point is that we have got, you know, I'm looking forward to the new year too. I want to fight like a wounded badger.
Well, this is the place to start right here.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, there's a lot of boo-hoo stories and they should be mentioned and, you know, people should be honored and all that. But the best way you honor them is, hey, you know,
stand up and fight.
What Mother Jones say? Mourn the dead, but fight like hell for the living or
exactly.
Something similar to that. I know that ain't exactly, but that's what we have to do. And, you know.
Well, as long as this little show is, as long as I'm able to get to the microphone every night, that's what we're going to do.
Tell David the Super Bowl, when the Steelers win the Super Bowl, he's invited to my house for some pulled pork.
Yeah, he sent an email earlier telling you to leave the Packers out of it.
Okay. Is he a Packer fan?
Oh, bad.
I'm sorry, man. Well, you know, what the hell? We all had to go through it, you know?
Oh, yeah, you know, Steelers fans went through the Bubby Brister era.
Yes, they did, man. You know, so just stick with your team. They'll get better.
Yeah.
It's going to take a very long time, though, David.
There's a lot of fixing got to go down in Green Bay.
Yeah, there is, man.
All right, well, have a great evening, Wayne. Thanks for the great conversation.
Happy New Year's, man.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, let's just put paid to 2005 and just, okay, it's 2006 now. Just, never mind. Yeah. I think it was the Mexica or Aztec and the Mayan calendar as well that had, you know, periodically it would roll around and they would have the 5 days of the dead. And everybody just sort of hunkered down and went, shh, be quiet, or the gods will get us. And then they kindled the new fire and had a big ceremony, New Year, all that kind of stuff. That's kind of where we've been for a while. Okay, we've got our strength back. It's time to raise a little hell, isn't it? Now, one last story before we knock off for the night. Everybody knows who Anna Nicole Smith is, right? What's with the whistle, dear? Now, Anna Nicole Smith, years and years ago, 1994, Anna Nicole Smith married J. Howard Marshall II. He was 89 at the time. She was 26. She was, shall we say, an exotic dancer, which is a completely honorable profession. The cat's back. She met J. Howard Marshall II, and I'm not going to speculate on what went on between them, but he liked what was going on enough to marry her. And when he went on to his reward, she said she was entitled to a wife's share of his estate. That was 1995 when he shuffled off this mortal coil. And they've been fighting in court ever since. So, like I said, there's been a court battle going on ever since with his sole heir saying, I don't want that bleach blonde bimbo to get a damn penny. And it's a bankruptcy judge sided with her, a federal district judge reduced the award, and then an appeals court completely eliminated the award. And now it's going to the Supreme Court of the United States, which is just a whole other kettle of fish. But that having been said, guess who is in her corner? You know, she's got her own lawyer, and God knows her lawyer has a stake in the outcome. But guess who has decided to get on board with Anna Nicole Smith in her bid to get her fair share of the estate of J. Howard Marshall II? If you're sitting out there saying, well, this is just too good, it must be the Bush administration, you would be right. The administration's top Supreme Court lawyer filed arguments on Smith's behalf and wants to take part when the case is argued before the Supreme Court. And the court will decide early next year whether to let the U.S. Solicitor General share time with Smith's attorney. What it is is arcane issues. But the Bush administration has gotten into this because they want to preserve the federal court's right to intervene in state issues. Anybody remember how the right-wing Republicans hollered states' rights? About how it was wrong for activist judges to intervene in things that weren't any of their business. Anybody remember that? I'm sure you do. I do. I did the minute I read this story. But that's the thing about George Bush was all pro states' rights until he got him some federal power. And man, that federal power is some tasty stuff. So, you know, come next month or whatever, or next year. Next month is next year. Anna Nicole Smith is going to have the full support of the good, godly, upstanding, righteous, Christian Bush administration behind her. Does anybody see a disconnect in that? I mean, I looked at it, and it was one of those kind of moments. But what it, you know, what it boils down to is that states' rights are only valid when Republicans want them to be. And this issue turns on the right of the federal court to intervene in state court activities. Remember the last time that happened? What was it? December of 2000, a little judicial dust-up by a bunch of right-wing Republicans who routinely screamed states' rights.
Terry Schiavo.
No, December 2000, oh. Sweetheart. Bush versus Gore. All along, the Republicans scream states' rights. It is the inherent right of the several states to decide their own affairs. Until such time as they needed the federal courts to intervene and place George W. Bush on what they apparently mistook for a throne. Yeah, those states' rights. Yes, dear.
Well, Anna Nicole's deceased husband had a will.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he cut her out of the will.
I'm not entirely certain, but it was heard. See, that's why this is a states' rights issue. It was heard in probate, and the probate was overturned by the bankruptcy judge, who was overturned by the federal district court, who was overturned by the appellate court. But do you see, I mean, and states' rights goes all the way back to the civil rights. That's what the states' rights was what... Well, people like Strom Thurmond and Lester Maddox and George Wallace used to holler states' rights as right-wing hate code for continuing the disgusting practices of such things as Jim Crow. So once again, it's one of those little hypocrisy moments that Wayne was talking about. That's the show for tonight. Thanks for sticking around. Thanks for listening, sharing time with us. It means a whole lot that you do. The show tonight was produced, of course, by the lovely and talented Agnes. It was announced by Brian Reznor, as well as my cat, apparently. The studio engineering was set up by Randy Kerbway. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org manages the stream that you listen to every night. He also manages the archives of this program and many other fine liberal talk programs. So, and he does it strictly on a donative basis. So if you've got a little something to spare, spare it to Ben. The show is brought to you every night by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Remember,